We always enjoy our time together, and thank you for braving the elements today. The weather was not planned this way back in the early part of the year when we put December 11th on our calendar, but we're here and we're going to enjoy our time together. Let us pray as we begin, and then we'll jump right into the program as it's been planned for us this afternoon. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the privilege it is to be here. Thank you for the safe travel for each that is here. We pray that you'll bring safely any others that might be on their way just now through the roads and delayed because of the conditions. And Lord, I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, the one after whom our faith is named, the Christian faith, will be honored and uplifted in this service today. I want to thank you for the skill and the practice and the energy and the devotion of these musicians and those who are reading Scripture to in this program, that you have put it in their hearts to use those talents and abilities for this kind of ministry. Praise you for that, Lord, and just ask for your name to be honored in our midst. Lift it up high, and may each one understand the real meaning of Christmas and the real Jesus. After we finish our meeting today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Enjoy.
From God's Word, the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, verses 1 through 10. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Thank you.
And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. No room, only a manger of hay. No room, he is a stranger today. No room, here in his world turned away. No room, no room, no room, here in the hearts of mankind. No room, no cheery welcome could find. No room, surely the world is blind. No room. Angels in heaven up yonder, watch with amazement and wonder to see the Son of the Highest treated so. No room, only a manger of hay. No room, he is a stranger today. No room, here in his world turned away. No room, no room, no room.
There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor aside by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left From Assyria? From Egypt? From Pathros and Cush? From Elam and Shinar? From Hamath and the islands of the sea? He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from all the four corners of the earth.
He's more than just a story. He is the King of Glory. I'm is fulfilled. With pounding heart I stare. A child, a son, the Prince of Peace for me.
Reading from God's Word in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know, and we testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Humble was his birth. Oh, what a glorious night, and glorious was his plan. To us the Father showed his love when God became a man. No greater love than this, no greater gave his only Son. No greater love than this. When Christ Christ, my Savior, died upon the cruel cross. My sin he took upon his back, for me he suffered loss. In sin I wandered far, and yet for me he sought. He found me in my wickedness. His death my freedom bought. No greater love than this, no greater love than this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. No greater love than this. Come see the crown of thorns upon his wounded head. Come see his bleeding hands and side. For you his blood was shed. O sinner, look to Christ, his mercy now embrace, and trusting in his righteousness, receive his saving grace. No greater love than this, no greater love than this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. No greater love than this. No greater love than this. No greater love than this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. No greater love.
Thank you. Reading from the Word of God, found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies, and thanks to all. Thanks to the children, especially. What a beautiful ministry they have had, and music here with us this afternoon. I'd like to make a few comments and remarks relevant to the program that we are participating in. We're coming close now to the end of it, and I want to just start my remarks by making this bold assertion. There is only one God. From ancient history, that God has disclosed himself in the pages of the Old Testament, we call it, the Hebrew Bible, using various names like Adonai and Jehovah, as we use in English, and El Elyon, the High God, and many other names that he gave to his people to describe who he is and who he was. Many Jews will not pronounce the personal name of God, that name which we know by the four-letter word YHWH. They will actually say Adonai in place of that word. They will not pronounce the word for the name of God, thinking it is too holy to be pronounced. And many even today will write the name G-O-D. They won't write the O. They'll write G-D in reverence for the name of God. The name of God was like his reputation. It represents who he is and his great power and his works. Prophets pronounced blessing in the name of God, and those proclamations stood fast. They called upon the name of God for rescue from danger and salvation, and God's people praised his name. In the New Testament era, God has revealed himself through other names. He's revealed himself primarily through the Lord Jesus, of whom we have sung much today and heard readings from the Holy Scriptures. And I want to share with you a little bit about his name. We could not in this program have covered all about Jesus because he is infinite. I made the bold assertion earlier that there is only one God. I add to that that there is only one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, who is very God of very God himself. He is deity. And God has revealed himself to us through him in these latter times. Have you ever been introduced to somebody and 5 minutes later you think to yourself, uh-oh, what was their name? I shouldn't have that problem in the line of work that I'm in, but I do have to admit I have that problem. I guess you can probably feel akin to me in that regard. What if you were new to this place and I walked down the rows and introduced you to every person that was here and then asked you to recite all of their names? There are very few people with the incredible memory that can do that. There are some, and it's quite a feat. But I'd like to introduce you to somebody today by means of his 72 names. And if you can remember some of these, you'll be doing well. I want to introduce him to you because he is the most important person in the world. The names and titles that we give to Jesus that we find in Scripture. And I'll start by introducing him to you as the Advocate. The Advocate, the one who stands before the throne of God and offers himself in your place. He gives himself and his blood as the reason why you, if you're a believer in Christ, should not be condemned with the world. He is called in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 8, the Almighty God. Revelation 22 at the end adds that he is the Alpha and the Omega. That means he's the A and the Z. He's the beginning and the end. He is everything in between the A and the Z as well. Revelation adds he is the Amen of his people. That means he's truth. He is verily, verily, a true one. He is the anchor, Hebrews 6 tells us. I introduce to you one who is called an apostle, one who is sent by God for a messenger to his people. Another name that he has is author and finisher. He is the one who created and completes our faith according to Hebrews chapter 12. He's the beloved Son of God. He is, as was read earlier, the branch that grows out of a dry ground, the root. He is the bread of life, John chapter 6 says. He gives himself for the life of the world. He is the bread of life. He is the bridegroom. He is the one who is married to the bride, the church. He is the bright and morning star. The bright and morning star who, like the star that shines in the sky, is the one that gives direction and guidance to us all. He, Mark chapter 6 tells us, was a carpenter as well, another name that was used for him. He is called the chief cornerstone. He is called the Christ. You know what Christ means? The Messiah, the anointed one of God, the one chosen by God for his people. He is called the day spring from on high. He is the one that when he comes, the kingdom will enlighten the world, and we will not dwell anymore in darkness as we do even now. He is the door of the sheepfold. He is the everlasting Father, Isaiah tells us. I introduce to you the faithful and true witness, the faithful priest, the one who will be faithful to God in all his conduct. I give to you the firstborn from the dead, the one who was raised first to eternal glorified life in his body. He is called in John chapter 1 and verse 1, God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's also called in John chapter 10, the Good Shepherd. He's the head of the church. He's the head of all things. He is the high priest. He is the Holy One of God. He is the great I Am. He is the image of the invisible God, the Scripture tells us. His name is Emmanuel. That's easy to remember. It means God with us. His name is Jesus. We didn't read all the portions of Scripture that have to do with his birth today. We've done that in years past, but this particular one is in Matthew 1:21, and the angel told Joseph and Mary that you must call his name Jesus. Jesus is from the Hebrew Yeshua, which means Jehovah saves. You must name him Jesus because he saves his people from their sins. Now, in that particular reference, he's talking to the Jewish people. Jewish people need to be saved from their sins. Gentile people do too. And we're glad that we can share between Jews and Gentiles, one Yeshua, one Jehovah saves God. He's called the judge in Acts chapter 10, and God's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Every person will come before him as judge. He's called the King of Israel. He's called the King of Kings. He's called the King of the Jews. His name, in fact, that was put on the placard that was above his cross when he was killed by the Romans. He's called not only the King of the Jews, but the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's called the last Adam. He's called the light of the world. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is living water. You know, he's not only a lamb, but he's a lion. And he's living water. For anyone who thirsts, he says, come to me and I will give you drink and you will never thirst again spiritually. He is called the Lord. That's often debated today, but no debate here. We must acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. Anyone who calls upon him as Lord shall be saved. He's the Lord of lords. Anybody that has the title Lord, he's the Lord of them. He's in charge of them. He is the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He is the master. Matthew chapter 8 uses that title of him. Another common title in Scripture is he's the mediator. I introduce to you the one who can stand between God and man and bring the two together. He is the mediator between God and men. He is the messenger of the Lord, and I reflect on the Old Testament in which the Bible tells us that the angel of Adonai would often come and bring messages to the people of God and direct them in the way that they should go, and that angel of the Lord is the messenger of the Lord. And that was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. He's also called the Messiah. We've mentioned that already in Daniel chapter 9, the anointed one of God. In Isaiah 9, 6, his name is Mighty God. No question about his deity. He's the one, unique, only mediator. He is the only begotten Son, John chapter 3 and verse number 16. His name is Prince of Peace. Could you recite all these names? It takes a long time to describe Jesus, my friends. because he is infinite in his glories, in his person, in his work. Where were we? Oh, I was introducing to you the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9:6, the prophet. I give to you the Redeemer, the one who Job saw in his vision, the one whose name is the resurrection and the life, one who's called the rock, one who's the root of Jesse and of David, one who's a savior, one who is a servant, one who is a shepherd and overseer of our souls, the one called the shepherd of the sheep, one called in Genesis chapter 49, Shiloh, very unique name, referring to his rule coming out of Judah and ruling the people Israel. He's called the Son, Psalm 2:7 and 2:12, kiss the Son, it says. Acknowledge him and humble yourself before him. He's called the Son of Abraham. He's called the Son of David. He's called the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. These Son of terms, by the way, reflect that he shares in the essence of who those people are. The Son of God, he is deity. The Son of Abraham, he's a child of Abraham. The Son of David, he belongs on the throne of Israel. He's the Son of Mary, he's a human being. He came from the stock and lineage of humanity. He's called teacher and rabbi. He's the true vine. Apart from him, you cannot live. You cannot have life, spiritual life at all. There's one very enigmatic name. It's so enigmatic that we cannot know it. Revelation chapter 19, it says that he has a name which no man knows except himself. So I can't tell you that name. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says that he's the wonderful counselor, and he is the word, the logos from God, the message from God himself. And so I finished introducing him by his names to you. Often when we introduce people, we exchange names. But I don't need to tell him your name because he already knows your name. There is no news for him in that. He already knows you. He knows you inside and out. He knows your heart. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what your relationship is to him. And I ask, do you care about the name of Jesus? Do you know who I've just introduced to you? We spoke this morning about the parable of the hidden treasure, the parable of the pearl of great price, in which we saw a treasure that was hidden, discovered, and the person who found it sold everything they had in order to have it. They gave everything so that they could have the kingdom of Christ, that they could have Jesus himself and his kingdom. And I ask you, are you of that kind of mindset today? Why should you care about the name of Jesus? Because it is by this name that you can receive forgiveness of sins. Acts chapter 2. Believe in his name and be baptized. Because it is in his name that people were healed from disease and demon possession and raised from the dead. Why should you care about the name of Jesus? Because there is no other name in the universe by which you can find salvation. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. Because his name is good news, not bad news. It's a good name. It's not a swear word. Because Jesus' name is the one that if you call upon it will save you from your sins. It's his name in which we are to be baptized, that name which he shares in union with God the Father and God the Son. Because at his name, one day, as we read and sang, at his name, one day, you will bow and acknowledge Jesus as Lord. That name which people today use in their cursing and swearing will be the name that God exalts above every name. I introduce him to you this afternoon so that you may know him and not be found at that judgment seat, bowing in, displeasure, but rather that you will be bowing because you love him and you know that he loved you. Why should you care about the name of Jesus? Because it is in his name and through his name that we are to praise God the Father. Because, as Acts 21 tells us, it's a name worth dying for, the name of Jesus. And it's the name with which we pray to God the Father. So I ask you, will you welcome him as your Lord and Savior? Will you acknowledge, as Peter did, that you're a sinful person? He said, "Depart from me, Lord. I can't be near you. I'm a sinful man." Will you agree that He is the Son of God who died for your sins and then miraculously arose from the dead? Will you embrace Him as your only hope this Christmas? Will you obey Him who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Will you cut the flimsy excuses and start participating in the Christian life? Gather regularly to worship His name who is above all? Will you introduce His name to others at every possible opportunity? You know, it's easy to introduce ourselves amongst each other, right? But what about introducing people to Jesus? Say, "Hi, my name is Bill, and I'm a Christian. Let me introduce you to Jesus. He's been the best friend that I could ever have." Will you worship Him, the one born as a baby in Bethlehem and sitting on the throne in heaven awaiting to return and rule the world? I don't really want to give you the impression that this is an option. It's urgent. It's a command. It's something that must be done. Remember, at His throne, you will bow and you will acknowledge His names. We could say all 72 of them that I've shared with you this afternoon. Do that now before you have no choice. He does love you and is concerned for your soul. Remember, I said He knows you. I don't have to give your name to Him to introduce you. He cares for you. I wonder if you care as much about Him as He cares about you. May He be honored today in our midst. And now, Lord, as we close our time together, I pray that each one of these folks who have heard this brief message will consider the name of Jesus and, Lord, will do business in their hearts, that You will energize, that You will give life, that You will open eyes so that all may see the glorious majesty, the matchless worth of the name which is above all names, the name of Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, the advocate to the Word, and everything in between. Help us to love Him. Thank You for His love expressed toward us through the work that He did upon the cross. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Work in our hearts, I pray, this Christmas, that it may not just be another Christmas, but one in which we really know the name of Him, our Lord and Savior. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.